Paper Cut Podcast strives to be evocative and inclusive. Every Monday, we cut below the surface with folks that make the Winnipeg arts and culture scene thrive. So, do you have any networking tips or tips on, like, to be remembered? Like, is there something that, is there a way that you say, like, if I just say, hi, I'm Elise, and then away from this person, like, when do you know that, like, okay, let's engage in networking, I want to be remembered by this person, and how do you do that?
It's like...
without being fake.
Right. Well, it's the same as any relationship that you develop with anyone. Like, you have to build a friendship. That's... networking is all about building friendships. And you'll meet one person on the industry side that you thought you would have a connection with and be like, like, I'm not feeling a vibe here at all. And that's fine. Like, you still respect each other, but then, like, building a network is just kind of recognizing, like, hey, I'm shooting the shit with this person, and, like, they're an electronic person. Like, they work in the electronic side of the industry, and, like, I'm in, like, this heavy rock band, but, like, I vibe with them so well. But, like, working on that is more important than finding somebody, like, than trying hard for someone who works in your genre, because the music scene is small and they're going to know everybody, and they'll bring more people to you, you know? So I think, yeah, it's honestly just about being friendly. It's the same as, like, I always tell people, it's like high school. Like, you just have to be the fun, friendly person, you know? Like, maybe, like, if they're in your city, like, make sure they've got some weed. Buy them a couple drinks. Like, be their hookup. Like, not physically, but, you know, for, like, depends. Whatever they need.
Right?
Yeah. It was, yeah. No, don't do that. yeah, but it is, you know, like... invest in those people, because they're so used to people being like, oh my God, you work for a record label, like, take my CD. And they're like, fuck you. I don't have a CD player. I don't know who you are. I don't give a shit about your music, because all of my best friends are musicians already. Mm-hmm. You know, like, those are the kind of people they are. But, like, when you meet them and you're like, oh, like, have you ever, like, been to this city before? Like, if you're in their city, be like, so, like, do you have any tips for, like, cool, like, shops or, like, places to eat? Like, also researching them. Like, Google is this amazing tool that you can literally search a name. And a lot of industry people have, like, been interviewed and, like, gone to conferences and done these things. Like, you might learn that they have the same breed of dog as you, and you can just, like, you know, talk to them for, like, 15 minutes about your Bichon Shih Tzu, you know? Like, it's just, like...
very specific dog.
Well, that's, you know, like, if... especially if they have, like, a strange breed. I've heard people talk about, like, their Burmese or whatever. But, like, you know, again, it comes back to authenticity. Like, no one is, like, impressed that... no one in the music industry is impressed that you're in a band. They work with bigger, better bands than you all the time. But, like, what they're impressed by is, like, hard work and, like, you being genuine and, you know, just loving your craft and loving... also, you have to be fucking nice. Like, mm-hmm. You can't be an asshole. Like, honestly, like, there's super, super talented artists out there who, like, they sell out, like, a 200-cap venue all over Canada, and they think, like, they're such hot shit. And it's like... like, that's, wow, good for you. Like, mm-hmm. No one else cares about you, and you're going to die quickly with that attitude. So just being a nice person goes a really long way. And again, like, the whole music industry is connected. You know, like, you hear one bad thing about an artist, like, your behavior, like, can really affect your career. Like, mm-hmm. One little thing you do to one person, there's, like, a domino effect. So that's a big thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
From the artist management side of things, do you ever come across bands who maybe have a great sound, but they focus more maybe on the music instead of the networking side? And how do you approach getting them to put themselves out there a little more?
That's, like, are actually, like, a really, it's such a tough call. Like, I'm actually putting on a workshop with like Micah Ehrenberg and Andrina Turen are like gonna be the mod like or the speakers for it in like soon. Probably by the time this is out it'll be over. But and it's about like it's such a tough balance between like the creative and the business, and like I struggle with that every single day. Like today I was like looking at emails and talking business stuff with my band, and like all I wanted to do was write. And so like that's kind of the other side of it. Like I feel like the business can really get in the way of your artistic side like a lot. And so this workshop I'm doing is like how to stay in love with music like when you're so busy on the business side. So yeah, like I guess on the other side of that is there are artists who are like, well, I don't want to write grants because, like, I just want to focus on the art. And, like, you know, I don't want to be, like, writing professional emails because, like, I'm too busy, like, jamming or whatever. And, like, that's cool, but, like, at some point you have to manage, like, if you want to do it as a career, you have to manage your business, and the only place to start is yourself. So, you know, like, I admire them, but, like, at some point you have to choose whether this is a hobby or whether this, you know, this is a business. And that's really what makes a career in music tough, because that balance is, like, I don't know the right answer, to be honest.
One more question. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, I think that this is just going to be informative to... it's a super informative piece. Okay. Like, we haven't really... dive like in a lot of the other conversations that we have are like, this is really fun, let's talk about your cat, but like unless you want to talk about your cat. But this is just like, I really like where this is going. Yeah. I want to talk about a bit I want to talk a bit about women in music. You were talking about you're in a female front of two all-male bands. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And also I've heard you talk about it before, going to conferences and being not only the only female, but one of the only young females that you've seen. Mm-hmm. That are in the industry. Like, how do you navigate those environments?
Yeah, it's like, actually, it's really cool because, like, over the last year and a bit, it's really been changing. Like, I'm seeing a lot more women coming out of the industry side and like kind of being on display in that sense. From the performer standpoint, especially being in like a rock band, you're judged so much more heavily. Like as soon as you step on stage as a woman, and I've heard, like, you can hear people whisper. And I can hear people be like, oh, there's a chick in it. Like, it's going to suck. Like, I've literally heard that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sucks, but, like, I'm, like, I think it's made me way more of a badass. And, like one of the best compliments I had ever been given, like, early on with Go For The Eyes is I got off stage and this girl came up to me and said, you rock harder than any guy I know. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, and it sucks that she has to word it that way. Mm-hmm. Because, but like she's a performer as well. And like, she gets it. She's like, that's how I'm being compared, you know? And I've been on several shows and like lineups with like multiple bands. And I'm the only chick backstage, you know? And like, guys are guys and they have like their testosterone flying around, and you know, you're treated differently by dudes in bands. And like, you know, I remember being on tour once and I was like doing vocal warm-ups backstage, and like the guys in the next band were like, you could just see them looking at me like, oh my god, like what a girl, like I can't believe she's protecting her voice, you know, like, but not, they're just thinking that I'm just like being some diva. But then after I got off stage, they were like, okay, like they admitted to me, they're like, you know, when you were like doing your vocal warm-ups, I was like kind of like, who is this chick? And they're like, we get it now, like we get it, like, mm-hmm. Seeing you sing, like you're a fucking pro. But the fact that, like, I just feel like I have such a point to prove all the time, and like it kind of sucks to carry that. Like, I wish people could just look at me before I perform and think, oh, this is gonna be awesome. This band looks like they have their shit together. But I have literally, like, people are like, oh, where do you get this idea from? But I'm like, I've literally heard people be like, oh, look at this bitch. And woman to woman, like, girls, fuck, stop being so rude to other girls. Like, mm-hmm. like, stop being bitches. Like, don't be jealous that I'm getting up on stage, because like I'm getting up on stage to be a powerful woman and to show men that they can't fuck with us. Like, that's my goal. And like, and like, I, you know, I get snubbed before I'm on stage when like girls are just being jealous or catty or whatever, and then they see what I do and they hear what I sing about, and then they're like, oh my god, you're amazing, I wish I could do that. I'm like, you fucking can, but like, get, stop it. It's like, mm-hmm. stop trying to be in competition. Like, I saw your attitude before I got on stage, and now you've changed your whole tone. But like, you, we have to support each other. Like, we have to stick together, and like, we have to uplift each other. And you know what, like, if there's like a bill and it's like an all-male lineup, like, don't go to that show. Like, go, when you see women get up on stage, like, that's really hard, and like, you should make an effort to like support that, and like, only go to shows where there's a woman on stage. Like, I'm starting to get really passionate about that. But like, so that's like, from that standpoint, you know, being around males all the time is actually super hard. Even in like the band, like the guys in my band are so supportive of me, and they're like protective of me, but at the same time they're like fucking scared of me, like, and they see me as a leader, and that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, they have no problems with that. I wouldn't even say they see me as like a chick. They're like, she's an equal, and maybe even like a superior in some ways, because she's been through this and she knows what the fuck she's talking about, and that's cool. But, you know, I don't know. It's just like, I feel like I'm jaded. Like, because I hear how guys talk and I'm like, oh, like, did that guy I went on a date with think that about me? Like, right. I don't know. It's just weird.
A lot of the bands that you work with in the city are all male bands. Do you find you ever get any pushback when you try and give them helpful advice or any kind of like directional? Like, do you get that pushback?
Not now. I mean, like, actually, I get, like, there's a ton of, like, guys and bands in this city that are, like, really, you know, conscious of this. And I love Winnipeg for that. Like, I feel like there's such a culture of, like, uplifting minorities and, you know, really embracing that. And I have, like, yeah, tons of guys even who are, like, more successful than me in the music business that come to me for advice, and they don't actually have any problem with that. I mean, I've obviously had to, like, build myself up to that point, but, yeah, I mean, I haven't felt any pushback, and I do have them, you know, even approach me at shows that we're playing together. They're like, I want to book a consult with you, or like, I want to talk to you about my ideas. And so, you know, or like, can you listen to my demos and like criticize them and like give me feedback? So that's cool. Like, but I have had to build myself up to that level. It's been like a long road. Mm-hmm. I mean, as it should be. Like, if you're getting advice from a professional, like, they should know what the fuck they're talking about. But yeah, like, on the industry side, going to conferences like 4 or 5 years ago, I remember being like, wow, like 10% of maybe 5%, 5 to 10% of the people here are women. That's weird. Like, I'm sitting at tables with like all men, and like, I didn't really understand. And I've noticed it changing. We just did January music meeting, and I had just as many women on our panels as men. But I think a really big part of that is that, you know, it's been such a male-dominated industry for so long. So when they ask for industry professionals to, like, be there giving their advice, then the next conference that comes up, like, what we look at other conferences in the past. Oh, who did they have speaking? Oh, that guy was good. And instead of like actually putting in the work to like research who else is out there, they just like poach from other conferences and put the same fucking people up with their same white male opinions, you know, and like, and that's just, and that's what happens. They're just recycling, you know, people to give their feedback. And, you know, now having been on the other side where I'm planning these workshops and these like the conference that just happened, it would have been so much easier for me to just be like, oh, like, what did all these places have? But like, I spent days researching women, not just women, but like visible minorities and people who are like powerhouses that have just like literally not really been asked before to do this kind of thing. You know, I had a female songwriter and producer from Nashville, and it's like, I don't know if I've ever seen a female producer on a panel in my 5 years of going to conferences. You know, it's always like, and it's like, and the idea of that is that, you know, all those females like sitting there listening to her are like, oh, she's a professional producer. She does that. I can do that too. Mm-hmm. And like, that's where it's like really important on that industry side. It's like, yeah, it is way harder to put in the research and to like pick people from like cities you wouldn't normally fly them in from, or like to find people that have never done this before. But the reason you do it is that, you know, the more a visible minority sees someone that they can identify with, the more likely they are to say, hey, I can do that too, and to like work towards that. So like, that is super important. And that's also why I'm saying, like, even with shows, like, you know, putting more women on stage, you know, being super badass, or like putting more visible minorities, or like, yeah, it's just like, that's really important to be doing. And that's why it should be like a conversation topic. And that's why conferences, festivals, all of that need to be conscious of that, because that's how you change an industry. And that's how you have more inclusion. More people are going to know that they can do that.
Totally. So, you also haven't picked your third band, just an FYI. Mm. Finley, your son, was talking about how he wants to be in the music industry. He was talking about he sings, he plays drums, and he's going to be someone that potentially is going to be performing in bands that may or may not be all male, or playing bills that may or may not all be male. What are your tips for him, or how are you raising him to be someone in the music industry that is inclusive and understanding and doing it right?
Well, I mean, like, he's like, so many of the conversations that we have just day to day are about like feminism, and like, he is a feminist already. And he's also like, you know, we talk a lot about like visible minorities, and like he's very conscious about inclusion already. Like, he doesn't look at people as like being, you know, their differences aren't a thing to, I don't know, be weird about. Like, their differences are reasons why they're cool, you know, like, that's kind of how he views things. And he's like just the most accepting kid ever. But yeah, I think because we have such an open conversation about it, and because he hears me be like, well, that would have been a great show, but it was like an all white, all male bill. Like, he like hears me talk like that. And I think, like, I'm not, you know, he's already influenced every day by it. You know, we have all these conversations, and I usually try to give him, you know, the background on things. I remember like one time we went to Starbucks, and I like started talking to him about like why women had to get married, and like, why, you know, people thought divorce was bad because it was there to actually protect women, because like, and we got into this like whole crazy conversation about like marriage and divorce, and like how it all affects women differently now because they actually have rights, like basic human rights, and like, they don't have to like, you know, keep their baby if they don't want, like, you know, they can have an abortion if they need to. And like, it was just like this crazy long conversation about, yeah, like women's rights, really. And he was like floored. He was like floored. Like, what? You wouldn't have been able to vote before? Like, what? You would have had to get married because you couldn't get a job? Like, mm-hmm. like what? You wouldn't have been paid? Like, I mean, we're still not paid as much. Still a battle. But, like, you know, even more so back then, you know? And so I don't think it's... I honestly think that he's just going to, like, grow up already being conscious of it. We won't have to keep having that conversation because he's just, like, so in the throes of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any more questions, Jared?
This was really in-depth, and even though I'm not a musician or an artist, I feel like I'm still able to pick up a lot of, like, interesting tips about networking and just even, you know, putting yourself out there, and I think that's very invaluable in many different avenues of your life.
Totally.
We want to thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah, no, we really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Just a reminder, you could find all of our cuts online at papercutwinnipeg.com.
Here's a cut from our interview next week with Matt Schellenberg.
I'm told by my mom that when I was growing up, I wanted to be, quote, a drawer at Disney. That's what I wanted to be. So I'm sure it's always been in my, like, wheelhouse of stuff I wanted to do, but I was never...